This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to hour number two of the program, everyone. Bob Pompeian here with you. It is Joel Nelson behind the glass. We're on only until 12:30 today because we have Pitt and North Florida in a basketball game coming up at the bottom of the hour. So get your calls in now at 412-928-9370. Want you to know that Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Follow them online at southhillsjeep.com. Also, text the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Same as the call-in number. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Our thanks to PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Also, number one Cochran, where you'll ride in style. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. Per Jerry Dulac, our Steelers insider with the Post-Gazette, who's on with us every week on KDK, and our pregame show on Sunday begins at 11:30 a.m. He'll be part of that, as usual. He is reporting that Mitch Trubisky will start at quarterback against the Panthers. So not really a surprise there. Mitch is going to start, but that doesn't mean Mason Rudolph won't get in there if things go awry. Carolina, keep in mind, despite their record, has an opportunity to win that division, which is stunning to me, given after they traded Christian McCaffrey, they've gone through Walker at quarterback, they've gone through Mayfield at quarterback, and now they're back to Sam Darnold at quarterback. We'll see what that game has in store as the Steelers will kick that one off tomorrow at 1 o'clock on KDKA TV. We follow with 2 hours of postgame on Pittsburgh CW. In the meantime, let's go to the lines, and we got a lot of people who want to talk, so let's get right to it, and that would include Lou in the North Hills. Hey, Lou, how are you?
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm just going to go on here for now, and then I'll hang up. The last caller about Tomlin, there's 25 other teams that will jump on Tomlin in a second. You know, he gets a bad rap here in Pittsburgh. You know, it's just, we're spoiled. As far as the quarterbacks go, you know, I don't think Pickens will be even be on the team if that Haskins tragedy wouldn't happen. I don't think they would have went first round quarterback. They like Haskins a lot. And third off, you know, I'm listening to the show during the week and all that stuff, and I really only listen when you're on. But, you know, the radio personalities and the fan just sitting there saying, you know, the Steelers tank and get a draft pick. Let me remind everybody, there's a guy on the coaching staff that got fired and had a lawsuit against the NHL for not tanking.
NFL, so, yeah.
Even if you want to keep it, you know, just like keep it off the airwaves, it doesn't make sense.
Well, first of all, I think
that's how you get investigated.
I think, Lou, that's hard to do in a sport like football, where you only have so many players to play. And a lot of these guys want to play. You can't tell people not to play when they're in there. It's a very dangerous sport to begin with. So that's hard to do. You can control, you know, who starts a quarterback. You can control skilled people who are in there, I suppose. But listen, they're to a point now where that ship has sailed. If they were going to do this, it should have been earlier. 5 wins would put them right in the middle of, you know, 12, 13, 15, 17. They're going to draft right there. And it doesn't matter necessarily how high you go. You better hit on that pick. That's the whole key with them this coming season. It'll be Omar Khan and Andy Weidel's first opportunity. They have 3 of the top 37 picks as it is right now. They have to make all of those players not just starters, but really good players. And, you know, and sign money. They have a rookie contract with a quarterback. They have money to spend. They should have money to spend. The salary cap's going up. Next year's got to be totally different. And I think, as I said before, coaching changes have to be made. They have to bring in better coaches, not guys who haven't had that big of a resume in the NFL, I'm talking. And I think systems can make people. Also, systems, as we see like in Shanahan, and keep going back to that. But Brock Purdy is Brock Purdy. What he has is some really good people around him, a good offensive line, and they also have a system which is a good system for a quarterback, especially a young quarterback. They need more of that here.
I mean, we went out and did it in the offseason. We spent money on the offensive line, and we shored up our defense. And, you know, the unfortunate injury to Watt, you know, the Steelers could probably be 500 right now.
Well, let me discuss that about you say they shored up their defense with money. And they did, if you strictly look at it from what they did. They brought in Levi Wallace. But in the end, has that really been worth it for them? Because he's not necessarily a shutdown guy, at least not the kind I would look at and say, that's a guy who I'm going to stay away from, right? They gave Terrell Edmonds one more year, and that's a good – for $2 million, that's fine. I think he's been a good player for that. But if you're looking value for your buck, some of these people they've brought in have not done it. I mean, Miles Jack was an attractive name, but has Miles Jack played the way I think he did when he first was in Jacksonville, a high second-round pick? No, but he has a name. So you give him 2 years, whatever it was, $8 million. I don't think they've spent enough money on real big-time, game-changing kind of players. That costs more money to do that. So they've navigated by picking and choosing some guys who can help out, basing this all on the star player value they have, which is Watt, which is Cam Hayward, which is Minka Fitzpatrick. I get all that, but it's just not worked out as well as they thought.
Yeah, but they went for it, and they just made a mistake. It just didn't work out.
The guys they signed on their offensive line, I have no problem. I think Mason Cole's been largely very good. I think James Daniels has been very good. I think their problem lies with younger guys on the left side of the line who are continuing to struggle from time to time. So they're going to have to reassess that situation in the offseason as well.
Last thing, do you think they would have drafted picket number one if Haskins would have been alive or unhurt?
Yeah, I differ my feelings for Dwayne Haskins compared to you. I don't think they thought that he was going to be some sort of franchise leading quarterback here. I think they had him. I know he liked him, but that doesn't mean he's going to turn out to be that. So I think Mike Tomlin really liked Kenny Pickett and had seen enough of him. He likes the 5 years he spent there. He's seen – and all of that, when it became available, they jumped on it. And, yes, I still think they would have taken him even if Dwayne Haskins was alive.
Fair enough.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370 is that number to call as we continue to talk about this. I mentioned just briefly the Argentina and France matchup tomorrow for the World Cup. France is the favorite. They should be. They won it the last time, and they got a really young player, Kylian Mbappe, who is now the next one. And it was, 4 years ago, he would have been 19 or 18. 19? I don't know. I think he's 23 or 24. Anyway, if he wins another one, that's two World Cup championships by the time he's 23 or 24 years old. That's pretty good as a guy who is the next one. On the other side, the sentimental favorite is Lionel Messi, who has, like Mbappe, have 5 goals in this World Cup, and he's never won one. He's 35. This is it for him, I would imagine. He's not going to have an opportunity the next time. So there's a lot of interesting intrigue in that matchup that'll take place tomorrow at 10 in the morning. As far as the Penguins, as I said, they're in Carolina tomorrow, tied with Carolina right now with 40 points. Carolina has played largely without Max Pacioretty this season. They had a good young team, they do. They mix it with veterans as well. But I think the goaltending advantage would go to the Penguins. I think if Jari continues to play like this in a series like that, that'd be a fascinating first-round series. It would be fun to watch. Welcome back as we continue here. Limited half an hour, so let's get right back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We have Joe, North for Sales. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. Yeah, I wanted to touch base with you on the whole situation with Brian Reynolds as it relates to these outfielders that are being signed. And I guess there was a recent signing of an outfielder that apparently, is a pretty decent ball player for 5 years, $75 million. And that, what kind of money is Reynolds looking for and what kind of money, are the Pirates offering? There, at one time there was a deal, I guess, on the table that would have made him the highest played ball player, I guess, in terms of money right now. What is that?
I think if you're going to look to me, Brian Reynolds, his agent, have to be looking at the market and what are recent deals. And last week we cited the case of Brandon Nimmo, who signed with the Mets. He's very similar and he's older than Reynolds, which is a check mark for Reynolds. But if you look at the numbers, very similar offensive kind of numbers. And the Mets gave him, I believe it was 8 years, $162 million. So to me, that would be a starting point if I'm Reynolds' agent.
Right, and I don't.
And that's an easy thing to. There is nothing wrong with that contract, and the Pirates should jump on it. At some point, you have to play market price. And he's 27. Yeah, he should be around here for another 5 to 7 years, at least.
Yeah, he's going to be a decent ball player for a while, bar an injury. He's probably about at his peak for home runs. And if they get some weapons behind him, maybe he'll even drive in more runs. So, I mean, again, at some point, the Pirates are going to have to step up to the plate. And if not with him, then who? Is it going to be Cruz?
Well, it's interesting. Jason Mackey just put up a tweet that he suffered an ankle injury in the Dominican Republic, not believed to be serious, O'Neill Cruz. But probably. But you see, these are the kind of contracts, Joe, that are no-brainers to me. Because they have years of control over O'Neill Cruz. And by doing a deal with him, it gives that guy guaranteed money, which he should take, regardless of what it is. But it also is not an indication of their willingness to pay market value. They would get him for a nice deal, not unlike what you saw with Ke'Bryan Hayes. Something manageable for them, and Hayes is taking it because it's guaranteed. But somewhere in the middle of this, if Hayes has a big year, breakout year, and then another one to follow, he'll be unhappy he signed it. But for now, he did, and I get it. It's guaranteed. I want to see them do it beyond years of control. That's what I want to see, and I have yet to see that.
One last thought, and I guess it was put out there here, and perhaps it was on the nightly sports call, about will the Pirates in the next 10 years have a ballplayer that signs a $150 million deal? And some people don't believe that they'll do it in the next 10 years.
Well, then it'll be a failure if it is. It's already a failure. They have to do it. They have to spend money. And I'm not, again, I'll make a case for you that every guy who signed a $300 million deal in baseball has never won a world championship after signing that deal. You can look at the Angels to start the list, but the Padres are going to follow up now. They just gave a whole bunch of money now, and they have three guys. Well, two of them over 300. The next one, Bogarts, is at almost 300. That doesn't guarantee you're going to win a championship. What it does guarantee, though, is that you're going to be in this fighting till the end, winning divisions and getting in the playoffs, and I think that's where the money is supposed to be spent. You know, like our call, Greg, from Youngstown, you know, it's hard to win championships. You first have to get to the tournament. And when you do that, you have a chance. And I think these teams have chances, but you know, $300 million one-year kind of or one-person deals are not going to win championships. It's how you spend money elsewhere too, coming up with guys. You know, I think the Cardinals do it better than anyone, Joe, to be honest.
I would only hope for one thing, and they've never done it, is at some point to, yes, there's exceptions, you know, with these low payrolls and winning, you know, they have winning teams, whether they go all the way. But at some time or the other, the Pirates have got to have a payroll that exceeds $100 million. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think they've ever done that yet.
No, and it should happen now. And I'm all for spending money. You have to spend it at least a little bit to be competitive here, have a chance. But it still comes down to the guys in your system developing. And those are in short supply as well. Thanks, Joe. Happy holidays. Appreciate the call. As we move on to the man known as the guy. The guy. That's a tough name, guy. I mean, you better follow up with some good, hard-taking stuff here.
Oh, I will, Bob. Listen, I appreciate your knowledge and you know, your experience with Pittsburgh sports. But one of the things I hear from the younger guys is this recency bias. You know, when they say, well, who's the greatest defense hockey player there ever was? Defenseman. And they'll say, oh, Letang. But I'd have to disagree. I mean, I'm not going to mention Randy Carlyle. That was a little bit before their time. Or, you know, even Stackhouse. But the guy that I think people forget about is Paul Coffey. And the reason I say him, when he came over from Edmonton, he brought both that winning attitude and that work ethic. And people forget during the 80s, when the Civic Arena could only fill 8,000 to 10,000 people, and Lemieux was injured for long stretches of time, Coffey maintained that team.
Coffey was unbelievable. And I think the reason that he doesn't get that kind of credit right now is because he spent most of his year with Edmonton, most of his career, I mean. And he was here, but man, his impact on this team was unbelievable. The speed. I remember how teams used to try to defend their power play by having somebody get, you know, down low on him so he couldn't get any sort of head of steam. Because when he did, he would just, he's like Connor McDavid in how he can dissect your defense single-handedly.
I've never seen anyone skate faster backwards than Paul Coffey. And last statement, I just want to say, if it weren't for Paul Coffey during those 80s, as I was saying, that when Lemieux was injured, there wouldn't be a Pittsburgh Penguins to talk about.
And well, I think Chris Letang is going to be remembered as one of the greats ever to play. And I'm sure you would agree with that, just by what he's been able to do and how long he's been able to do it, despite a lot of adversity. And there are those who said when he had his neck surgery back in 2017, after having a stroke back in 2014 or whatever it was, that he should have not come back. Well, he fought through it, and he wants to play. He has a hunger to play. I like those kind of players.
No doubt one of the great, you know, Letang is one of the great players. But when you talk about the greatest Pittsburgh defenseman, just remember Paul Coffey.
No, I talked to Paul quite a bit, actually. We had him on our show a few times. He's a good guy. He comes in for Mario's annual hockey tournament every year, and he's still one of the most charismatic guys in the room. He always has been. Thanks, Guy. I appreciate it. You have a good holiday, and thank you for calling us at 412-928-9370. All right, reset for you again. Steelers will be at Carolina tomorrow. Mitch Trubisky will be your starter. So we have our pregame at 11:30 in the morning. We have 2 hours of postgame on Pittsburgh CW after that. Some really interesting games tonight. I'm going to be very intrigued to see how much snow Buffalo gets. Right now they're over 10 inches, and it is going to be Miami there tonight at 8:15. What a snow globe game that should be. I'm looking forward to that. We need more of that in the NFL. Penguins of Carolina tomorrow. You got that big soccer match for all the marbles. Argentina, France tomorrow at 10 a.m. And it's a big weekend in sports.